Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Bob Thibodeau with the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast, and you are listening to Life Transformation Radio with my good friend Sean Douglas. Be sure to subscribe to his podcast so you will not miss any of the upcoming episodes, and be blessed in all that you do.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 70 countries, such as the United States, Sweden, and New Zealand, Australia, Mexico, Canada, all across Europe. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use this to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network Tuesday through Friday. You can join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, and I ask that you subscribe to the show anywhere that you're comfortable listening to podcasts, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, and the Google Play Music app. On the show, my guests are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, podcasters, authors, and amazing people who are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of the guests that I bring on the show during our live broadcast, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number 657-383-1109. And please help me welcome to the show my friend Dee Bowden. Hey Dee, welcome to Life Transformation Radio.
Hey Sean, hey, thank you so much for the intro and thanks for the opportunity to be on the show. This is awesome.
Man, I am super, super, super pumped to have you on the show. Because what I've done, I've never had anything like that on the show at all ever. So I mean, I've had like financial people, you know what I mean? I've had coaches, mindset people, you know, I've had them on the show, but I've never had somebody what you do. I've never had them on the show. So this is going to be absolutely incredible. So with that, if you're ready, let's do this.
I'm most definitely ready, Sean. Again, thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the show. I'm glad to get to connect with you, share the story. Let's do what we do, my friend. Let's rock and roll. Let's do what we do.
So the title of this episode is Recovering Your Money with Dee Bowden. Dee is the founder of BCS Solutions, a revenue recovery consulting firm that helps small companies make big money impacts. She's a native of Boston, Massachusetts, with over 20 years of financial management experience. Dee is a graduate of the Steve Harvey's Act Like a Success School of Business Acceleration. Dee focuses on helping companies and government agencies recover lost revenue and increase cash flow. Dee has successfully collected over $50 million. $50 million, ladies and gentlemen. She has successfully collected over $50 million for several companies and government agencies. Her 2018 career highlights include being a presenter at Deposit Your Dreams in Success Workshop held at Microsoft. She was a guest on Your Resource for Success podcast show on iHeartRadio, a digital facilitator at Success Women's Conference with Robin Roberts from Good Morning America on the topic How Secure Is Your Cash Flow, and a guest on Your Voice, Your Power podcast, and Your Genius Zone, both were on Anchor. In 2019, already, she's going co-author with Cheryl Wood in the book Entrepreneurial Elevation, which releases in July of 2019. She is the guest on Impact the World Radio Show with Cheryl Wood, Voices You Haven't Heard podcast with Cassandra Spearman, and you can hear her on WJMS Radio Sound Off program with Jamie James, and now she's a guest on Life Transformation Radio. So, Dee, I know you're doing amazing things. You and I, we met last year at Ann Alston, yep. who was a guest, February 1st. February 1st, you can go back into the archives, ladies and gentlemen. February 1st, Ann Alston was a guest on the show, and we met at her veteran entrepreneur event in Maryland. And from the moment, I was like, wait, what do you do? And it was like so intriguing, 100% intriguing on what you do. So you recover money from several companies and government agencies who otherwise it would be lost to the contracts and you know, whatever other circumstances that they have. My question to you is, what is your why for what you do? Why did you choose this? What is your deep why?
Well, Sean, that's a great question. Thanks so much for that. My deep why is this. If it's okay, can I answer that question by
100%.
Telling you a story.
100% is okay.
Cool. All right, awesome. So, about 10 years ago, I worked for a small IT firm called Amherst Technologies. They used to be in Merrimack, New Hampshire, right outside of Boston, where I'm from. I was hired as a part-time collector. My hours used to be 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock on the 4 o'clock in the afternoon to 8 o'clock in the evening. They had $8 million, true story, $8 million in outstanding sales. So the sales had been done, but the money for the sale had never been collected. They gave me the money. They gave me the accounts. True story. They gave me the accounts and said, look, Dee, we need you to go figure out what's going on with the sales. So I started out with, you know, I'm a believer. So my first step was, God, I don't know what happened here, but I know you can give me some insight on how to figure this out. And I got it. And then I went to work. And basically what I really started doing was getting on the phone and saying, hi, I'm Dee from Amherst Technologies, calling on behalf of account number, blah, 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 contract number, blah, 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 and invoice number and the amount. And as I started making the phone calls, I began to hear a similar theme, what's called a disconnect. For example, one company said, listen, we'd be happy to pay you, but we sent you an email saying we changed our billing system. So when you reformat your invoice to the new billing system, you'll get paid. That one thing was worth $4 million. True
story. Wow. All they had to do was reformat what they were doing.
Reformat the invoice. They sent the email and said, listen, we changed our system. So people change accounting systems all the time. It used to be in one system, go to something else, change it. You got to do that. They changed it. Anyway, somehow there was a disconnect. And so anyway, so going through, I worked on that, and I actually recovered $6 million in 60 days while doing this part-time. $6 million,
wow.
60 days, part-time. And
Part-time.
As amazing as that is, awesome. 2 months before Christmas, the CEO comes downstairs and says, listen, I need to have a meeting with everybody. We've made an executive decision. We are going to close Amherst Technology. If you Google them right now, Amherst Technologies, Merrimack, New Hampshire, you're going to see their logo. They don't exist. So after working that hard to get that much money back in 2 months part-time, to be told, y'all, we're out. We're closing. Everybody from the CEO to the janitor, get your stuff. You got 30 minutes to leave. And when I left there, I was devastated, but also I was pissed because I had worked really, really hard to get that money back. And along with my other teammates, I don't want this to mean like it was a solo show, but I mean, it was myself and my teammates. But the fact is that we had worked so hard to get that money. And even with all that, the fact that our lives could be changed on a dime. So I share that story to answer your question. What's my why? My why is for not another company. If I can help them not end up where I was 10 years ago with going to work, believing in my services were of value to this company, and to be told, we're out. You're out. Back up your stuff and go. And the second part of that is this. I truly believe that every business, small, medium, or large, you go into business to do one thing, which is make money. Now, you make it through your product, through your service, through your gift, whatever you sell, and I want people to understand that if you're a business owner, small, medium, or large, crush the sale. Knock it out the park. Do well. But here's the thing. The sale is not complete until the money's in the bank. And that was a disconnect. And that's my why, is the fact that people get so hyped about making the sale, but they forget two things. Number one, the sale is not complete until the money is in the bank. And number two, collections, which is what I do, is an extension of customer service. So in order to change this dialogue, I'm having these conversations to say, listen, my why is I never want to see another small business that I'm connected to in any way be stuck and feel like they've done a great job on the front end, which is sell their product, sell their service, but they don't know how to ask for the money because they're intimidated or concerned about messing up the relationship. And number two, I want them to actually stay solvent. It bothers me when companies have to go out of the business, even the big ones, even the fact that, for example, I have nothing to do with Payless, but the point is that there's a whole bunch of things that went wrong that Payless is closing. That's huge.
Oh, that's so crazy. That's I didn't huge. Even realize that they were closing.
Yeah.
Like I went to take my kids there, and I was like, oh, cool, they have a sale. Let's go see Payless, right? Like we were like driving by Payless. And my wife was like, well, let's go check them out. I'm like, cool, they're having a sale. And then my wife's like, well, maybe I should get me some shoes or maybe we should whatever. I'm like, nah, we'll just come back. She goes, babe, they're not going to come back. I'm like, who's not going to come back? She goes, they're going out of business. I'm like, it's Payless. I look at the sign and I read closer. It says going out of business. Right next to the sign that I originally read that said 30 to 40% off. I was like, what?
Exactly.
How is Payless going out of business?
Exactly.
That's crazy.
And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I can't speak to Payless. I'm just using it as an example of the fact that small, medium, and large businesses go out of business all the time. There are probably a host of reasons of what happened on the financial side and in products, et cetera, et cetera. But my point is that if they could go out of business, don't you think that a small business could go out of business if they're not doing those things, if they're not following up with their sales, if they're not following up with their billing, they're not making sure the invoices are getting collected, and they're not making sure that they're staying on top of their account? I understand that when you're in business, you're first off, you're working to catch the next sale. You're looking to make the next presentation. You're looking to make the next entry into another market, service, whatever.
Yep.
And that's what you're supposed
to
do. That's important. But once you get there, you still have to make sure you deliver. Because here's the thing. There's four things that happen in business. You got sales. You got accounts payable, which is the billing of the invoices that were sent for your product or service. You got accounts receivable, which is my lane. You got to collect the money. And then you got to have a contract. Within the confines of the contract, it states, we, the company, blah, 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 bought your service, blah, 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 for X amount of dollars, blah, 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 on this date, and we expect you to deliver. And if there's issues, you know, you got to call somebody, make a phone call, get on the phone, do things. But the generic process of business is four things. It's sales, it's AP, it's AR, it's contracts. Somewhere in one of those four areas, if those things aren't working in cohesion, there's I call it a disconnect. It's a hiccup, it's a problem, issue, whatever. My term is disconnect. And what I have learned in doing this for almost go ahead.
So let's go let's hit this again, because I think that you've hit on something very, very, very important. Is because we see all these Facebookpreneurs and all these wantapreneurs and all these people trying to do business and message people on Facebook Messenger and LinkedIn, like buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff. But yet they haven't done anything that you said. So run through those four things very, very quickly. I don't mean to cut you off, but you hit on something very important because I mean, I'm starting my fourth company here very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the next month, I will have my fourth company. The previous two was very like exactly strategic what you were talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had a way to sell the service, collect the money, perform the service, and then make sure that everything was done. And I tell people all the time, your sale has not ended until you have completed the service and received the money. Period. Dot. End of story.
Exactly.
Just because somebody pays you, and this is crazy, right? So
sometimes
people get paid, but they haven't completed the service yet. So then you get reported by the Better Business Bureau or Ripoff Report because you decided to not perform world class services to whoever paid you, or you did perform world-class services to people and then decided that, I'm just going to shortchange you. I'm going to pay you only this much or whatever. You see that a lot in construction businesses, You know, they're like, well, do the work, and then I'm waiting on my money, waiting on my money. You need to pay me, waiting on my money. Right? So run through those four things again.
It's sales, accounts payable, accounts receivable, contracts. Everybody that's in business.
What's the difference between accounts payable and accounts receivable? Tell the difference between accounts payable and accounts receivable.
Accounts payable is – I'm sorry. Say it again, please.
What is the difference between accounts payable and accounts receivable? Because this is huge right here.
Yeah. Accounts payable is the part of your business that actually submits the invoices to the company for the services that you said you were going to provide.
Yep.
So, for example, 100%. A company bought something from you, and you have to bill them for your service. Accounts receivable is receiving the money in for your product or your service. A great example is this. Everybody that's listening to the call right now has a cell phone, and it is the perfect example. A sale was made for your cell phone. You bought either an iPhone, a Samsung, an LTE, or whatever. So you bought one of those phones. The bill that you get every single month is accounts payable. The company that you have the contract with bills you for their service every single month. The receivables is you pay either AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, or whoever else, or Boost, whoever you have your service with, they bill you for the using their product, using their service. You pay them.
Yep.
Then you have a contract. You have a contract for either 12 months, 24 months, 36 months. It doesn't matter. But you have a contract with that phone company to use to buy that phone. And either you're leasing it, unless you bought it outright, but you're still paying payments every single month. You're either leasing it or you bought it outright. But here, the sale took place because you went in. The person said, hey, welcome to AT&T. How can we help you? Oh, I'm looking to upgrade phone, da-da-da. Okay, well, we got the special plan, da-da-da. And then let me have your license. They scan your license to confirm you are who you say you are. We're going to do a little contract. When they do it electronically, right there on their pad, boom, they call you up and they say, okay, your contract is effective today. Your bill is going to be worth this. So the company, so they put the information in the system. It gets sent over to the billing department, a.k.a. accounts payable. Accounts payable in 30 days sends you an invoice and says, hi, Sean, we are billing you from this period to this period. You owe us this. That's accounts payable. The company bills you. Accounts receivable is you go into your account and you either do PayPal or direct billing or direct payments and you send them the money, receivables, because the cable company gets their money back, and then your contract is for however the length of the service is that you bought the phone for. Make sense?
Right. Perfect. Yeah, no, it makes sense to me, but I don't think it makes sense to some people who you're saying that goes out of business or the people, because I see it all the time. I was actually mentoring somebody a couple weeks ago, and we literally had a conversation. I'm like, okay, let me see your bio. Let me see your website. Let me see all your stuff. And they're like, well, I mean, I don't have a bio. I'm like, how do you not have a bio? You said you run a business. Well, I mean, I'm just trying to get it off the ground. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, have you done your articles of incorporation, or have you done any of the groundwork to say if you're going to be a sole proprietor, LLC, S corp, C corp, or any of that stuff, incorporation, whatever? He's like, I don't even know what any of that is. I'm like, oh my God, dude! Like, you can't run a business if you don't actually know how you're going to operate. This has got to be the. So what you're saying is, once you've done all that, now you got to have these other strategies in, like what's your accounts payable? Like, I use Square and PayPal. That's what I use. I invoice people through PayPal or I invoice people through Square. It depends on the dollar amount because the fees are different. So you have to know that.
Right.
My accounts receivable, is I have an account that the money goes into after it's been paid, which needs to be separate from your personal money and your business money. Because I've seen a couple of people get audited last year. Some of my friends, literally, they're like, man, I just audited. I'm like, crazy self, decided to mix money. So, and you're trying to write off things that you can't even write off. So, yeah. So I appreciate you going through that. Okay, so what's the fourth one?
The contracts.
The contract.
As I was saying,
huge.
The contract. So as I was saying, using the cell phone example, every company, every person who's listening to this, if you have a cell phone, you have a contract with a phone company. Whether you actually have the physical copy of the contract or not, you do, because your bill actually is your bill is basically the short version of the contract, because it tells you, between AT&T and you, they have your name, your address, your phone number, your account number, et cetera. And the contract basically, you know, the contract that you have with the phone company says basically you bought this phone or you leased this phone from them for X amount of months and you're paying X amount of dollars. Those are the terms and conditions of the contract. I'm making it simple. So basically you bought the phone for $100 and you're leasing it, so you pay $20 every single month until it's paid off, $100. In terms of the contract between you and AT&T, you're allowed to still use that phone so long as you meet the terms of the contract, a.k.a. you pay your bill every month on whatever date that they tell you. The contract basically is a legal document that says between myself and another company, and I'm making it simple because I don't want to get into all the legalese, but to make it simple is that you have it. You're the company. Yep. And we bought your service, so I said use the phone as a basic example because everybody can understand this.
Everybody
when
understands
you have
it.
When you have a phone, you have a contract with a phone company, whether it's AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, whoever. The contract states that you are leasing, you are using, you have bought Samsung number, was it Samsung S9, and you have the amount of services, and you get this much, what is it, gigabytes, and you get whatever, and all the things you get,
100%.
You get this package. You get this package, and it costs you X amount of dollars every single month. You agree to the terms, which are basically they will ask you what day of the month would you like your bill. They tell you can have it this day. You set the terms and conditions, meaning we're going to buy this phone, we're going to pay for these services, I'm going to get billed on this day of the month, and then I'm going to pay this amount. That's the cycle that happens all day long. So that's the sale. Accounts payable, which is the bill. Accounts receivable is the money. And then your contract tells you what happens. Now, if you have any issues, there's usually somewhere in the contract that says basically if you have concerns, questions, what do you do? What AT&T has the rest of them? Call customer service. You get on the phone. Hi, I'm G. I'm a member. I have a Samsung phone, da-da-da-da-da, with AT&T, and whatever the little widget is that it's not working isn't working. Then they'll get you through. First thing, can I have your account number, please? And before they even get to help you, they want to make sure your bill is paid.
Yep.
They're checking your status.
100%.
They're checking your status. They're checking your status. If your bill's behind, they're not trying to fix anything until you get up to date. Then they can confirm your everything's copacetic. Hey, Ms. Bowden, how can I help you today? Well, here's my situation, da-da-da, and then it gets to work. Well, same thing in business. And here's the thing. Business owners need to understand this. You are your service or your product is offered in good faith to another company and that you're going to deliver on what you said.
Yep.
That's it. Now, the disconnect in terms of where I come in terms of collecting money is because after the sale is made and somebody forgot to make sure that all the deliverables were made, all their services were delivered, et cetera, and that there were any issues, they didn't fix them, then what companies do, they'll hold up your money until you resolve it. So you mentioned earlier, Sean, about construction. Well, that happens because they will hold up your money. If you haven't taken care of all of the issues, the leverage is holding up your invoices. So if you ever it's true. Think about it. Why would I pay you for a service you haven't completed in full? And especially if the contract says you have to, I'm buying these services from you, and I expect you to deliver this amount, in these increments, and you haven't done it, and you haven't bothered to follow up to make sure that I'm satisfied and everything is cool. Why would I pay you in full?
Right.
I wouldn't.
Right.
What people miss is this. The business isn't just business. The business is based on relationships. You talk about this, John, all the time. How important it is for us to manage our relationships and honor them. And so what people forget is you're doing business with another human being. And so if you don't honor your word and honor what you say to them, why would they pay you? Why should they pay you? Okay, I know what the contract says, but here's the thing. You didn't honor the terms and conditions of the contract. Why would I pay you? You got to get on the phone. You have to make the phone calls. And I truly believe you need to show two things. Respect, number one, and number two is gratitude. When you read my bio and you talked about all the things I've done, every step of the way of all the blessings I've had, it's been because I've expressed gratitude. A gratitude to God, number one, and gratitude, number two, to the people who have allowed me to be a part of their program, including you today. What makes me different and what makes me successful is I recognize that, number one, collections is an extension of customer service. 2, the sale is not complete until the money is in the bank. 3, if I'm calling on behalf of your company to another person that's on the other side who owes me money, if I'm not courteous and respectful toward them, why would they go the extra mile to help me get my money? I wouldn't.
All right.
I wouldn't. If you're
right.
a jerk on the phone,
that's
why? Seriously, real talk. If you're a jerk on the phone and you're kirking out on me because I'm owed money, but you don't respect the fact that I'm the accounts payable person and I'm the person that has to go into the system and find your invoice and figure out if everything's been taken care of, if you don't respect that my job of what I do, why would I make sure that your invoice gets paid? Because here's the thing. When you call up the company and you're saying I'm owed X, Y, and Z, the person on the other end of the phone is one piece of that puzzle. The accounts payable
right.
person on that end has to find your invoice, has to confirm that all the deliverables were satisfied and that it's been approved for payment. And they're the one that has to make sure it goes through all the channels and eventually you either get an electronic payment or a physical check or however you're getting paid. The point is respecting the people that are on the other end of the phone is everything. How I'm successful today is because of that. I've been in the trenches doing this for almost 20 years. So, and I don't get to meet the people I work with. I build relationships over the phone. The millions of dollars, the millions of dollars that I've collected, the $6 million, the $45 million, last week was $775,000. I do that over the phone and email. Just like we're talking today, this is how I do business. I just collected $775,000 on behalf of a government agency in 1 week. 1 week. Phone, email.
So let me ask you this. So so this is for businesses. I'm not sure if this translates into the end consumer, but if I don't pay a bill and it goes into collections, Dave Ramsey always talks about how they're sharks and they just want to get your money and they don't care about you and, whatever. So you don't pay your Discover card. You don't pay your credit card. It goes into collections. The collection agency calls you, says your bill is $1,000. However, today, I'll take $300 and we'll call it even. What's the point of doing that? Why don't they collect the whole thing?
Well, I'll tell you, that's not my lane, so I don't do consumer debt, so I can't speak to that. But say it again.
So what you do is completely different to that. You're actually collecting the owed money.
Business to right. I do business to business and business to government. But I can answer the question
this way.
Okay, so if you have a Discover card or whatever, and it's $1,000 is outstanding, and the company has, first of all, if Discover has been contacting you regularly and you haven't paid the bill or you haven't called them, as I was just saying, to make some kind of arrangement to do something, eventually they're gonna write it off and they're gonna send it or sell it to a collection agency.
Yep.
A consumer collection agency that will take it on, then they are going to come after you because they're like, look, their whole thing is recover this money, get their commission, et cetera. No, they don't care about you as the person. They all they care about is making the money and making that commission. I don't operate like that. That is not how I operate. And I don't do that level of collection, but I understand why they do that. To answer your question, if your bill is $1,000, and the collection agency says, "Hey, we'll take $300." That's called a settlement. That means that they're willing to take something versus losing their whole $1,000. If they get $300, that's at least a settlement, and it's a good faith effort, and they'll take that. But that's not my lane of business. But whoever's listening gets it.
Perfect. So, what was the transformational moment? Was it you losing your job and saying that, holy crap, I worked super hard to recover the millions of dollars that I recovered? Or what was it that transformed you, which put you on the path to what you're doing today?
So it was definitely that. The question you just asked me, it was exactly that. It was a sense of – it's a couple of things. It was a sense of, like I said, I worked part-time. And but in working part time, I learned that you can work hard, and be dedicated, and think your life can be snatched from you in a heart second. It wasn't just me.
Oh, 100%.
It was everybody. Yep. It was everybody that was there. I mean, these people I worked with were together for 2 months, every Monday through Friday. Hey, Dee. Hey, Susie. Hey, Alan. Whatever. How you doing? What's going on?
Yep.
We became a little family, and then all of us got walked downstairs and said, look. we are officially closing, and y'all got 30 minutes to get your stuff, and wish you the best. There was no
30
we
minutes.
We're going to try to fix this. I'm telling you, it happened like that. And I think what the transformation was that if you don't value, you know, your business, your life, it can be snatched from you in a hot second. We just went through the longest government shutdown.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Talk about transformation.
That was crazy.
The fact that at any given time, the president can say, I'm shutting the government down. I don't care how you're impacted. If I don't get what I want, I'm going to shut it down. What people don't understand are two things. Anybody who's a federal employee, if your agency was impacted by that, eventually, I think through Congress, you're going to get your money back. It's the government contractors. Right. It's the people who work for companies that support the government who are impacted, whose lives are changed and turned upside down. And a lot of them will – that money that's lost, they don't get that money back. Because here's the thing. If you work as a government contractor, you have to provide services to the government. It has to be verified, confirmed, et cetera, and somebody has to sign off with it and says you can get paid. So for those 31 days, all those companies, all the agencies that were closed down and every government contractor that supported them, they just lost 35 days of work and revenue. And the point is what transformed me is the fact that that can happen at any given time. And so my mission, my calling, my drive is to work on talking about the state of your cash flow, the state of your flocks, understanding that, yes, it can change, and life happens to all of us. We get that. But the goal is for you to not end up like Amherst Technology, to have that much money outstanding, and you don't even know how come you're owed that. It's for you to say, all right, what do I need to do? How do I need to set up my business so that, listen, I'm making my sales, but I also know how much is going out in billing, how much money is coming in, and I'm cool with my contracts person because that person knows what's going on. And on top of that, it's to realize that, you know, I don't believe that God wants any of us to be, you know, be in business and not do well. I just don't. I just don't believe that He wants us to do well. And so, you know, but doing well requires, you know, operating in wisdom. It's like the things you talked about earlier about the person who said they were in business and they didn't have the basics. They don't have articles of organization. They don't have a DUNS number. They don't have an EIN number. They don't have, you know, the basics, and then they don't have insurance. Like, you can't, you know, it's all those things. So it's all that stuff that's what drives me. And it's to change this conversation. So number one, people don't think about collections and it's like, oh my gosh, I'd rather go get a root canal. because of how it's seen. But it's to see it as it's a part of customer service. It's an important part of your business. And if you expect to stay solvent, you've got to sell, but you ought to be also have to collect your money. And as I've said, the sale is not complete until the money's in the bank. And my hope is that what people get to understand is that, you know, I've been on this journey for 20 years. I didn't just get here. I've been doing this. I've been the data entry person. I've been the file clerk. You know, I've been the person that you know, when I've worked at government agencies, have had to take, you know, files and box them up and put them in systems and all that. I've done all the menial work, and that's why when I talked about that, about having the respect for the person on the other end of the phone, because that's been me. And so the transformation has been more about respect and gratitude and, you know, looking at this as something bigger than me, that, you know, it's to share the knowledge that God's given me to help other people who want it to say, yeah, you know what, Dave? Yeah, I do need to do better with that. And let's get at it. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. Like you say, let's crush it.
It just seems, because, I mean, I ran multiple businesses and I'm creating another. So I'm on the side of the business owner, and you're on the side of you coming in to recover money. It just seems so weird to me that a business or business owner or somebody in charge isn't collecting the money. Like it seems like that would be the lifeblood of the business, and you would have more attention to detail on how you're recovering the money, right? Just as much as delivering world-class customer service or – whatever you're delivering, whatever it is, are you delivering a product, a program, a service, whatever it is you're doing, it should be equal attention, recovering money, getting paid, just as much as it is delivering that world-class, you know, whatever it is you're delivering. So it blows my mind when you're talking about mm-hmm. this. I'm like, how is that possible that you're operating a business and you're not collecting mm-hmm. the money, or you have to call D in, who is like the revenue dog, the bounty hunter. like she comes in and starts building relationships with people. Like, you know, she says, I'll get it for you.
Well, it's a great question, and I'm glad we're having this discussion, because here's the thing. It happens more than you think, because here's the thing. When you look at it, if now you have a different approach, you have a different mindset about your MO, that's probably not going to happen to you. And it doesn't happen to everybody, but it does happen enough. And like you talked about earlier in our conversation, look at Payless. Something happened in those four areas I discussed, because why else are they going out of business? Some things happen. Now, there's probably a whole lot more that'll come out later. But to answer your question, how does it happen?
Sure.
It happens like this. If you're a business owner and you're chasing so many opportunities, so many proposals, so many this, so many that, and you're getting them, and then you're getting one after the, you know, and let's say your business scales and you get a lot of business, which is great. We want that for you. But you're so focused on the next new shiny object, and you're just assuming – oh, hear me. You're just assuming that everything is taking place, but you're not checking. You're not knowing the state of your flocks. This flocks is a biblical term for you knowing your state of your accounts.
Right.
You don't know what's going on. Now, you, Sean, as a business owner, I'm sure you probably run a very tight ship, and you know what's up with your sales, your AP, your AR, your contracts. That's the way you're
yep.
wired. That's you. Now, every business owner should be like you and should do that, but they don't, because here's the thing. They're so excited about getting the next shiny object, and they're making the assumption that everything is going through, and it usually doesn't become a flag until it's either 60 days past due, 90 days past due, 120 days past due,
right.
Sorry, 120 days past due. Then they're like, oh, crap, or some other choice words. And, well, how do we get here? Well, let's see. 60 days ago, when somebody brought to your attention, listen, this account is a problem, you didn't stop to address it. Oh, don't worry about it. That's Johnny. I'll fix it later. Well, no, you didn't address it right then. So Johnny said, hey, you ain't worried about it. I ain't worried about it. I'm going to keep rolling. And then it just snowballs.
Right.
It just snowballs.
So
it just snowballs.
And I'm glad you said that, because literally 2 weeks ago, I got paid and I got pissed because I told them, I said, let me get a contract. Let me get, you know, all the information. Let me check out all the stuff, you know. And they said, okay, where's it coming from? What's your PayPal? What's this? You know, where would the invoice be coming from? You know, all that stuff. And so I told them. And then like a day later, I've got a ton of money sitting. I mean, it was a big contract, contract. And I got money sitting there. I'm like, mother, dude, I need a contract. don't pay me. Like, what are you doing? So now I've got money sitting there. You know, I'm like, well, do I refund it? Do I not? I'm like, give me the contract. It took them 3 days to get me a contract. I just let the money sit, because if y'all want the money mm-hmm. back, it's all there, all accounted for. I haven't spent it. Done deal. Right? And I told them, I said, mm-hmm. I do not do business this way. Do not ever do that to me again, because you put me in a bad situation. You gave me thousands of dollars for nothing. So technically, I don't have a contract. So technically, if I really wanted to, I could just run away with your money, and there's nothing you can do about it. And even if you try to get a ripoff report, there's no contract. There's no nothing. There's report me to Better Business Bureau. I never agreed to anything. You just deposited money in my account for no reason. You know, like
exactly.
So I was like,
exactly.
I was like, to protect me, mostly mm-hmm. to protect me and to protect you, never, ever, ever. And I love your eagerness as a business owner. I love your eagerness. Do not ever give money without a contract in place. Not ever. There better be a signed
exactly.
agreement before any money is exchanged. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I got a notification, and I was like, mad. I'm like, God, ugh, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because
mm-hmm.
because you put me in a situation where it's like, okay, like, can I even, like, I mean, we had the talks, right? We had the discovery calls. I know I can serve them. I know my programs, products, and services can serve them, and it is. But can I really serve you? So now we got to go through the whole refund process. It could be bad. It could be really bad. So just have good business practices. Like, it's so crazy. So here's what I want to do right now. I want to, we're going to start to close the show. I want to plug you. Let's do a shameless plug. You can plug friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, whatever it is, your business, whatever it is, your programs, products, services, plug you. What is it that you want the listeners to know about you and to do?
Okay. Well, thanks. First of all, thanks, John, for an amazing opportunity to be on this program. I thoroughly have enjoyed it. I've enjoyed talking to the audience. So first of all, I'm Dee Bowden, founder of BCS Solutions. Number one, I want you to go to my website, which is www.bcsconsultinggrp.com. That's www.bcsconsultinggrp.com. I want you to, in the middle of the website, put your name, put your email, and download the 5 successful strategies to collecting your money. Put your name and your email, press download, download the 5 successful strategies to collecting your money. Number two, if you have any issues with collecting money, you're ashamed, you're embarrassed, right? As soon as you get the download, there's a calendar to the right. Schedule a free 30-minute conversation with me so we can talk about what's going on. There are things I can probably figure out that I can't do over our conversation live here. But if you need help, schedule a 30-minute. It's a free conversation. I can't promise you I can resolve all your issues, but I can promise you if we schedule a call, we can get something resolved so you'll feel better. That's it. The second thing is follow me on Facebook. I'm Dee Bowden on Facebook, and my company's BCS Solutions. On Facebook, it's BCSSOL. So it's facebook.com/BCSSOL. Number three, I'm a co-author of a new book called Entrepreneurial Elevation with the visionary Cheryl Wood. Love for you guys to support the book release when it comes out in July. And last thing is, in 2 weeks, I will be speaking with Jewel Tankard from Bravo TV's Thicker Than Water. I'm going to be speaking at her Millionaires Conference, and I'll be speaking about how secure is your cash flow. And so love for you guys to follow us. The broadcast will be made live on Facebook on April 6th. When you see me, click like and share it. But again, go to the website, www.bcsconsultinggrp.com. Middle of the page, name, email, download the 5 successful strategies to collecting your money. It's a free PDF. It's my personal philosophy on how to successfully collect your money. It's what I use every day in my business to do what I do and make the difference that I make in the world.
So the website is bcsconsultinggrp.com.
grp.com.
www.bcsconsultinggrp.com. Okay, so it's yeah, okay. I just want to make sure I got it right. So I'm going to add that to the show notes right now because I don't have it there. I just have your LinkedIn and Facebook and like everything else. So I'm just adding it. Boom. Now it's there. So you can click on her website, www.bcsconsultinggrp.com. Her LinkedIn, Facebook, yep. Instagram, and everything that you need to connect with her to check out her programs, products, and services is all there in the show notes. So, Dee, as we close the show, what I want to do is let's get a nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today.
Sure thing. My nugget would be this. When you have to collect your money, two things. You got to be respectful. And you have to show gratitude. Gratitude is everything. People think they minimize that, but I'm telling you, gratitude changes everything. Number two, while you might be stressing about collecting money, don't stress about it. Recognize it's a part of the business transaction, sales, AP, AR contracts. Collections is a part of it. If you have any issues, you now have an ally. You now have a resource that can actually help you with your issues. But like I said, be respectful, show gratitude, and then listen. My favorite thing is that when after you collect the money, celebrate, raise a glass, or whatever your favorite beverage is, and raise a glass. Because listen, you know it takes a lot to collect your money, but you know what? It's the momentum to go make the call, to figure out the problem, get it resolved. And then celebrate. Yep. That's one of the 5 things of my 5 steps in collecting your money. Yep. You do all the steps, but then at the end, celebrate. Raise a glass of whatever your favorite beverage is.
I love it. I loved this conversation. This was incredible. And I love what you're doing. But like I said, I've never had someone doing this before on my show, out of 210 episodes, this was absolutely one of my favorite. I love what you're doing. I think that it's incredible that you can form conversations over the phone, collect millions of dollars of revenue, and you're a fixer. You find the holes in those four categories, and then once fixed, streamlines the business processes and allows them to keep on collecting money and keep on functioning and, you know, and growing. So, yeah, I absolutely love that. That's amazing. So I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Well, I appreciate it. Like I said, I totally have appreciated being here. It's been great to talk to you and your listeners. I'm looking forward to us doing some things in the future, so we'll need to do that.
Heck yeah. Oh, it's going to be amazing. Absolutely. So, Life Transformation Radio listeners, if anything resonated with you, please connect with her. Go to her website. Go to Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. You can connect with her. Just ask her. Ask her some questions. Connect with her. And if you're B2B right now and you're struggling with getting the money that you deserve, or if you're a government agency listening right now, connect with Dee Bowden. I'm telling you, what she does is so, so incredibly important in your business. And with that, subscribe, rate, and review Life Transformation Radio wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. I would love to for your subscription. Subscribe to the show, download the show, share it out. In case anyone you know is struggling, they can hear the show and be empowered. So as we close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.